Hi, everybody. Welcome back. As always, just raise your hand, or there's so few of you here that you could literally probably just start talking. So if you have something to share or ask or say, now is your time.
I'll start.
Go for it.
A couple things. One, just the resonance in terms of responsibility. Feel like this has been particularly something I've been noticing in terms of my breakup. It seems like my ex, it feels like he's taking responsibility, but what I see is he's just taking blame. He's taking, and it like you can see the shame in it, but it's like it comes out as like, I'm broken, I can't be fixed, is what he says. And I think he thinks that's taking responsibility. And I'm like, no, because I've literally used that phrase, like responsibility is the ability to respond. And you're not, like it's not a
Yeah,
response, it's
nice.
just a shutdown. So just more of like a resonance there. And then in terms of like resistance, when you had mentioned resistance, I've played it with it a little bit more and been thinking about the word friction, which is sometimes synonymous with resistance. And there's a purpose to friction, in terms of like friction is the way that our clothes stay on our body. It's the way like we walk on the ground. Like, so you need some kind of opposing force at times. It does serve purpose. But so, because I think we sometimes get so wrapped up in like, what is my resistance? And I shouldn't have any resistance. And that can be very true at times, but like also there is purpose. And I've just been like that. I've just been looking up ways in which like friction resistance does serve us and using that as a little bit of a guide.
Yeah, I love that.
So that's all for me today.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, friction, I think that's a great way of putting it. And yeah, I use intuitive resistance and fear-based resistance because that helps me kind of feel in my own body, like, because sometimes the intuitive resistance is like, yeah, this thing is for you, but like slow way down, or it's a softer kind of resistance. I think the fear-based resistance, I mean, the first example that's coming to mind with that was like the freaking gear that I was like watching pole and sensual movement videos and like feeling the desire to like do that, but then also being like, oh, what will people think? What will my husband think? Can I do this? Am I too fat to do this? Am I too old to do this? Like, so that resistance was showing up as fear, right? So it was like making me hesitate or second guess myself or whatever. So yeah, I just echo what you're saying with a big yes. That's all.
Yeah, and I appreciate that distinction between like the intuitive one and the fear-based one, because that's like another, like an easier way of looking at it, I think.
Yeah. Well, good. I'm glad that was helpful. Thanks for sharing. Yeah, go for it, Angie.
Cool. Just to kind of weigh in on that about the fear. There was something you said like way back at the start, and it's something that I've been playing with for a while, is this idea of, is this coming from fear or is this coming from faith? And I don't mean like religious faith, but more just kind of like faith within myself or faith within my grounding, or is it coming from like a place of trust within me, or even trust of another person, or is it like my fear of the other person or my fear of their intentions or my fear of lack of understanding or something? And it's, I'm finding it just like a really useful cue, even in conversation, where if the topic is starting to get a little bit triggering for me, or I'm starting to feel it go a certain way, it's like, okay, am I operating now from fear or from faith? And it just
Love
really
that.
to ground me back. So it was something that you said at the start there. I was like, oh yeah, that resonates, that tracks.
Yay. I love that. That's beautiful. And are you able to do that in real time?
Yeah, that's where I'm finding it the most interesting, because I physically bring my attention towards like my feet and my legs, and it and even maybe like the lower part of my pelvis. And for me, that gets me out of like the racing thoughts or the panicky feelings, or the like if there's a flush of temperature, it feels like everything goes up. And so for me, it's like, whoa, how can I like bring it down? And I notice that in those moments, I'll start like wiggling my toes and be like, oh, okay, hang on a minute, and like take the attention down the way and like feel the base of my feet in those actual situations. Sometimes it's easier than others. And sometimes it's kind of like, okay, I need to take myself out of the conversation for a little bit and then come back. But it's still, I find it a really grounding tool. Yeah, useful.
Yeah. That's really amazing that you can do that in real time. Because it's like, I think I'm hearing you say that you can be present with the other person and you're also staying grounded and present in your own body to be able to notice how your body is responding. So then when you notice that your body's responding by you're coming up into your head, right? It's like that's your cue to know to ground it back down, like go into the root chakras and come back down to your feet, your legs, your pelvis, right? Instead of being like all up here, airy fairy. Yeah, I think
Absolutely.
that's really amazing, Angie.
It will be tested next month when I go to Scotland and I see my mother for the first time in 2 years. So it may not be that useful until then.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Didn't work.
Totally.
I like kicked a door and it didn't work. So
Totally.
like
Yeah,
getting
I
my
haven't seen my mom in 2 years either. If I was going to see my mom, I would be like, now here's where all my work is going to get tested,
Yes.
right?
I feel like romantic relationships have been a walk in the park given what is coming up. So let's see. Maybe the next call I'll be like, yep, yeah, doesn't work for shit. But right now it's doing me good.
Nice. Okay. Well, yeah. Well, I'll be really interested to hear how that goes.
Yeah, I'll keep you all posted.
Yeah, I probably need the inspiration too. I'm sure I'll see my mom again eventually, and I would very much like to stay totally in my integrity with that and know what's mine and what's hers and not get like the lines blurred, you know? Because that has been my relationship with my mom for all of my life, is the lines have been blurred.
That's the same for me, and this particular week, the topic and resilience and the overlap with boundaries is exactly the space of challenge for me here. So in terms of that relationship with her, and it's been lifelong. So we're very well versed in our roles, and there's been like some rupture more recently, or like I say recently, like a year and a half ago, that it's like, okay, there's now I'm at a point where to live in my integrity, I can't just simply like wash over that. So it's just kind of trying to figure out what is, again, like what is faith and what is fear? Like what is my intention going into that conversation? And what is my intention for myself as well? Like, am I just wanting to go in and verbally vomit like all of my stuff on her to like cathartically make me feel better? Or am I actually thinking, can I do that somewhere else? Can I get the movement and the processing of that somewhere else, and then approach this, not needing her to hold any of it, because that's very unlikely to happen.
Yeah, that's so. I hope everyone's like paying really close attention to this, because that what you just said of like, do I actually need to do this? Is it a verbal ventilation that I could accomplish with anyone? Or is there something that I actually need her to do? Because knowing that she might not be able to hold something, and how you might make it her responsibility to hold something that not only isn't her responsibility, but she probably couldn't anyway, right? Like you're gonna walk away from that exchange feeling really shitty about it if that plays out again, you know? Like I would feel the same way. I mean, that's what happened the last time I saw my mom. Like there were moments whenever we were together that I was really solid and like taking responsibility for myself and being able to see the line between what I'm responsible for and what she's responsible for, and like have boundaries around that and all that kind of stuff. And then there were other times where it just got completely like blurred, and I might have had a subconscious expectation for her to be able to hold something for me at that time that She was never going to, and probably still can't. But the work that I've done with my own abandoned child is getting to the place where I don't need her to do that for me anymore. You know, whether she can ever hold anything or validate me in any way, it doesn't matter to me anymore. You know, I don't need that from her anymore.
And that's where that idea of like the questions to yourself for me has come in really useful. Like, okay, what does this part of me need from me right now that I can provide? And sometimes the answer is really almost like I had one afternoon where I was feeling like that inner very young child needed something, and it was like, okay, I feel like you want some play, or what do you like? What if you just had the reins, what do you want? And it was like, pancakes was the word that came to my mind. I don't like pancakes. I don't eat pancakes, but I made the damn pancakes and I had fun making them. And then I ate some of it and was like, all right, I mean, it's not rocking my world, but I'm glad you got them because this is what you wanted. And so it's kind of like stepping into that role of being the kid asking the mother and then just choosing which mother I asked. Because I was like, if I go back to the real biological one, I am not going to get what I
Yeah.
need there. So it's like, can I have these little moments of like, okay, what do you need? Let me provide that for you so that it's the driver of the bus that goes to my mother and says like, hey, here's like the kind of relationship I want to have with you, and here's my role in it, and here's what I would need, and what does that look like from your side? To see like what she's to see if the driver of her bus can get off and meet me there, rather than like my kid pulling at her pants again and being like, hey, I'm still a kid, I need you to like take care of me, and try to do it a bit differently.
Yeah, I love the language you just used. I'm gonna have to go back and rewatch that because that was really good for me, even to hear you talk about, like, because I don't often think about my mom's kids on her bus, you know, which is so interesting because I'm like, why don't I think about her kids on her bus? Like I'm constantly talking about people and their with their parts, you know, like always, but I hadn't thought about like, okay, if can my higher self drive the bus and like park it, and can my mom's higher self park her bus next to my bus, and maybe we get out and we have a mutually beneficial conversation about like what is the kind of relationship we want and what is our role in that relationship, and do we both consent to that? Like just making it explicitly clear instead of assumed, you know? I can see how that would be really helpful. My immediate like resistance, which I'm unclear if this is intuitive or fear-based, it might be both, because it doesn't feel big, but it does feel true. My immediate resistance is like, I don't know if my mom has the capability to park her bus next to mine and our higher selves to have this reciprocal balanced exchange, you know.
Which I think our mothers might have gone to like the same school of thought, because like I've met my mother's bus driver, but I mean, I'm 41 and I think I've met her bus driver like 5 times my whole life. And I've met some really beautifully vulnerable, unsupported parts that as a woman now I have so much empathy for, but as a kid, it still has like created so much messed up connection between her and I. And I feel like I'm going in with not an expectation on her. I'm going in with what I think feels like a very high bar, but I'm going to really be like very simplistic with my language. And I'm aware that she has very defensive, very aggressive, very like, oh, this means that, like very like quick to fill in puzzle points that aren't there to come to a conclusion that she's bad or that she did a bad job, or there's a lot of guilt, there's a lot of shame, and there's a lot of repressed anger. And I don't feel like it's my job to manage that. And it's also a little bit, I'm responsible to acknowledge that it's there. So if I want to have an interaction with her, I have to acknowledge that that's there. Otherwise, I'm still going to go in with like my way of wanting to do it and meet someone that has like zero capacity. So at least if I go in and be a little aware of that without trying to own it, which has been my problem in the past, is like, well, let me just micromanage that off your shoulders and then remain. And now, because that is so out of integrity for me, I'm like, okay, let's see. It's kind of like there's been a 2 year hiatus, so it's like, let's see how this goes. And if nothing else, I'm going to the country of whiskey, so I feel like there's a little bit of support there. But I think it'll be an interesting, I feel like actually quite like I'm looking forward to sharing it with you guys, even if if it doesn't go particularly well. It feels like for me there's a space to bring a little bit of that too.
Absolutely.
And that feels like there's a very like supportive energy within this group that is like, okay, strong, supportive women was not something I was raised with, but it's something that is way more aligned with me now and something that I seek out. And so yeah, it'll be interesting. Interesting to see how it plays out. And like you said, just being aware, like not to have any kind of Walt Disney expectations. She'll be like, oh wow, yes, I've done so much work. And like, here's all my personal growth. Here's where I failed. And here's where I'd like to make up for it. Like, it's like, no,
Yeah,
that's
that's the dream.
But I actually don't know if I could hold that. I'd be like, no, I'm sorry. That doesn't fit well with my victim mentality. So you're going to have to take it somewhere else. Like the parts of me that want to still be whatever the abandoned daughter are not going to hold that well. So I have to also do my own work around those parts.
Oh, interesting. So even if your mom came to you and was like, Angie, I get it now. I get it. I get that I was under-resourced and under-supported, and you were born in the 80s and 90s. Mental health was taboo back then. We didn't talk about this shit. Like, but now I've listened to these podcasts and I've read this book and I'm going to therapy now, and like I'm learning how to communicate. I'm learning about boundaries. Like, and I see how I messed up when you were a little girl. And like, I know there's nothing I can go back and change, but I am so sorry for how I hurt you and how I inadequately mothered you. You don't think your higher self would be able to hear that?
No, I do. I think if it was as complete as that, I think I would feel honestly the feeling that's sitting right under there is like it's like relief that wants to be released. There's like a feeling of like, oh my God, if all of this is true, I can suddenly be like, oh, thank God. Like, I don't have to, like, now it's all your responsibility. Like, there's a sense of the parts of me that feel like you're never going to do that, and maybe there's somehow a level of my responsibility in there that feels like I can drop all of that. And so that relief is sitting there, but I feel like there's also the parts, the more hurt parts, that are very like, well, let's see, you say all this now, but let's see what you're like in a more reactive situation. Like
Sure.
you said, you know, like how would you be, how do you feel when you're actually in those conversations? And I'm like, yeah, then it's way harder, right? Like it's like, oh, here's all your beautiful intentions of how you want to live, and then you're confronted with something that's really like agitating or triggering. So I think the parts of me that would be suspicious or like reluctant to be relieved would be those parts that are like, meh, okay, that's all sounds great, and I've heard you say really beautiful things before, but actually what I need to see is like tangible life examples, continued tangible life examples. And I think that would be like the disconfirming experiences that I would really need. Like the verbal part, I'm like, that would feel like a relief, but I'm like, I'd love to see how that actually plays out in order for me to trust it.
I can totally relate to that. That resonates for me as well. And I do realize that what I said as a hypothetical that you might get from your mother is like extremely idealized. Like, I do understand that.
I guess she sent me more advanced than like any of the stuff that I've ever heard from anyone. So I'm like, wow,
I
she.
might have a, if my mom said anything remotely resembling that, I might have like a heart attack. Honestly, I would be like, I don't even know what's happening. What planet are we on? Like, that's what I would do. But I totally resonate with what you're saying. And I guess, so have you and your mom not spoken for almost 2 years, or you just haven't addressed this particular rupture for 2 years?
We haven't addressed that rupture, but
Okay.
in the past 2 years, I think we've had four phone calls and
Okay.
like a few messages exchanged, but we're not really in super regular contact.
Yeah.
So, and we weren't in like very, very regular contact before then, but it was just like, oh, I need space and time away from this. And right after I last saw her, she was going on a vacation and said, well, listen, when you come back from that vacation, I do really want us to discuss how this was and what happened. Like that, I really think that this is something we need to address. And then I didn't hear from her for like 2 months, 3 months. And it was a 2 week vacation. So I'm like, okay. And that tends to be the pattern is like, let me just drift away and hope that the situation or I get over the problem, and then she comes back and is like, okay, I guess you're over that now, or I guess that's not a big deal anymore. And so that's why also the phone calls and the messages have been really limited, because for me it's still lingering there.
Yeah.
It feels like very inauthentic to just talk about the weather and talk about, you know, hurting my brother or something, and be more like, okay, I have to address this in person.
Yeah. Do you see it ever being possible for you to get to a place where, like, there's not resentment or anger or unforgiveness between you and your mom, but you just get to a place where it's like, whether she's in my life or she's not, whether she's able to do this work or she's not, like, I just feel completely neutral about my mom and our relationship. And if we have a relationship, fine, it's going to have boundaries. I'll communicate what I need. If we're not going to have a relationship, I'm okay with that too. Like, do you see yourself ever getting to a place of neutrality where it's just like, not like I don't fucking care, not that kind of I don't care, but like I genuinely do not have an attachment to what happens in our relationship. I just know what it can't be.
Yeah, I think right now I'm closer to feelings of like disappointment and sadness than I am to like the anger part, because I don't think she sees her bus, but I feel like I can see a lot of her bus. And I'm so sad that her not dealing with those kids has really impacted her relationship with me. And I'm sad that I lost out, and I'm sad, like I feel disappointed of those things. And so it's less, currently it's less neutral and more into that, and more into like, oh, the parts of me that feel not abandoned, but feel sad and feel disappointed would need more care from me. And then I don't know, I feel like, neutrality would be like a hypothetical good state, but I don't know if I believe in its existence. In
It
terms
exists.
of people, in terms of people, like I feel like I could be very neutral about like a lamp, but like a person, it's either like, unless a person that's more removed, sure, but a person that I have more of a history with, I think it doesn't have to be like a very reactive connection, but I see more neutral connections that I have that are like way from my past that I don't interact with. I have no like bad feeling toward, and it, well, if I saw you in the street, I'd be like, "Oh, how nice to see you. And I hope that you're well and good luck with your life. Ciao," like kind of head off. But I don't know if that's possible with my mother, at least. I'm not sure. But I'm open to it because it would be interesting.
Yeah, it is possible. I promise it's
Okay.
possible. It is possible to get to a place of like, but not until you've fully given that disappointment and that sadness and whatever anger is still left, like, not
Sure.
until those have had the space that they deserve, right?
Yeah.
Like, the neutral comes when the energies of anger and disappointment and sadness and grief and rage and like when those energies have had a place to go, we give them a
Yeah.
place to go. Like then we process them out of our bodies through feeling and moving. And then there actually is space for neutral after that.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think for me, yeah, right now there's too much tied up in the connection with her.
Yeah, that
And
makes sense.
a big part of me will be, I think it'll be interesting for my body to be in physical space with her again because I'll be super interested in like, hey, what are we feeling? What do you need? What's going on? Like,
Yeah.
I'll be kind of tuning into all that.
That's going to be my test too, is the next time I'm
Yeah.
in physical space with my mother to see if that neutral feeling sticks.
Sticks, yeah.
For sure. Yeah, because I haven't been in the
It
same
can be
space
neutral
with my
when
mom
I'm
in
like
over
in
2 years.
pain. Yeah. Well, I
Yeah,
mean, that's
I haven't been in physical space with my mom in 2 years, and I've had one phone conversation with my mom in 2 years. So, and literally, like, I mean, and I am saying this with neutrality, but I'm also saying it to illustrate like a point about just how my mother is. And like, I messaged her a week before last. Because David pulled a tick off of my, I had a tick on my back, and we live in an area where Lyme is like freaking everywhere. And it was the kind of tick that would carry Lyme if it had Lyme. And anyway, because we live in an area where there's a lot of Lyme, I keep just a supply of doxycycline in the house like all the time. We buy it from Mexico because you can buy it over the counter there, and we just bring it home and keep it in the closet until somebody gets bit by a tick. And it's like, okay, good, we have it. Anyway, I had never taken doxycycline before. And so I have a history of like really weird reactions when it comes to medications. Like either I really react to them in a very bizarre way, or I take them and they literally do nothing. Like it's kind of that sort of thing. And so I thought, okay, if I'm gonna take this doxycycline, maybe it's a good idea to like text my mom and ask if she can remember if I've ever had doxycycline before. Like I'm sure if I had a Lyme scare as a kid, my mom would remember. So I texted my mom. I'll show you guys the text. I texted my mom, "Hey, this is a long shot, but do you happen to know if I had doxycycline for anything as a kid?" And my mom's answer was just, "No."
Like, no, you haven't had it. No, I don't remember. No clarity.
You see that?
No. Oh my goodness.
Just no. And
Yeah.
like, I had a second where I had a not neutral moment when that came through. I was like, and then I kind of went, this is my mother. Like,
Those tracks.
this is what's happening. Because if it was me and my kid was like, "Hey mom, do you happen to remember if I've ever had doxycycline?" I would be like, "No, I don't remember, but are you okay? What's going on? Is everything okay?" But like, this is how emotionally my mom is, you know? Like, so yeah, I can feel some kind of way about it. I have the option to feel pissed about it. I have the option to feel sad about it, but I don't really feel either of those things once I get past the initial, ugh, right? Like, I get past the, and I come into awareness that I'm having this ugh moment that I'm like, well, what purpose does it serve to feel this, ugh? Is she doing anything that's different from what she normally does? No. Like, she's just being herself. Like, it's not authentic. I don't believe this is who she authentically is, but like this is how she's always been, and she hasn't done any work to not be this way, you know? So yeah, I had an initial like, ugh, and then I got curious about it, and then I was like, yeah, I don't actually need that feeling because I don't actually expect her to do anything else beyond this. You know what I mean? Yeah, like I feel much more hopeful about you and your mom than I do with my mom, because at least your mom is like, hey, when I get back from this vacation, I'd really like to talk about this. My mom's
No,
never.
that was me.
Oh, that was you. Okay, never mind. I thought that
That
was
was
your mom.
me.
I'd be like, my mom has never said anything like that.
No,
I would die if my mom
if
said
she said
that.
that, I'd have been like, oh my God, have you fallen? Are you okay? Do you need some like Mexican drugs? No,
Yeah, Mexican
she
drugs.
went the
That's
other
what we need.
way.
I basically have a cartel in my hallway closet.
No, I sent the message to her, and that was me stepping into that discomfort of being like, I want to acknowledge this thing that you probably want to skirt over. I want to keep it there because this was a particularly like, she's not a place for me to take emotions to. She's not a place like that is safe for my emotional space. And but what my mother loves is information. So it's like, I will keep pushing you, and what could be a conversation becomes an interrogation. And so for me, it's like, and now I'm under attack, and I'm being sort of, I'm already vulnerable because you know that there's an emotion going on, but now you're like attacking me. And so it feels like not a safe place to take it.
Yeah, that makes so
So
much sense.
that's kind of where I'm at, is like, why I want to know what sort of relationship she wants us to have, and then what she thinks would need to go into that kind of relationship, to sort of make it like a little bit more collaborative. Because right now most of my parts are very like, we don't need a relationship with you, like we might as like we should shut this down, which might still be the outcome, but at least I feel like it's an opportunity for a bit more of a collaborative attempt. And then if it's like, you know what, collaboration is not an option here, it's like, okay, cool. Then, you know, I can take myself out of that and hopefully then work into that neutrality
Yeah,
separately.
I think that's a really wise way to handle it, Ange.
Let's
Really
see.
do.
Thank you.
Yeah, honestly, I can't offer anything different or better. So when are you going to see her? Are we going to get to hear about it at our next workshop call?
No, I go November 14th.
Oh, that is the day of our next workshop call.
Oh shit. I could be I might be in her house like on the call being like, guys, I need a flight now. Someone book a flight, send me
Yeah.
the
Yeah, if you need some support, please hop on and we will provide support. It's like a mom
ticket.
SOS.
I appreciate that. It's good to
Yeah.
know.
That would be possible for sure. Well, thanks for sharing, Angie. I can't wait to hear how things go. I mean, for better or for worse, like you're doing something. So
Exactly.
something's gonna happen. Like, I can't wait to hear what it is. And I'm not even going to say I hope it goes the way you want, because I don't even know if you want, if you know how you want it to go. I think it's like, it sounds like you're like, I need to suss out where she's at and like what she wants. And yeah, that collaboration and relationship that has never been a reality for me with my mom. Like, it's never been reciprocal, even like ever. I've always been the one initiating contact and, hey, do you want to come visit? Can I come visit you? Like, it's always been me initiating. And I'm just like, this is so one-sided. I can't. And I've even told her, I don't always want to be the one texting you or calling you. It would be nice for you to reach out to me and ask me how I'm doing sometimes.
And there's
Nope.
nothing.
No. No. Yeah. She didn't. We've had one phone call in 2 years. And I still, in 2 years, have not gotten a text that's just like, hey, how are you? Just not even a hey, how are you? Like
Checking in.
she shows no interest or curiosity. She doesn't ask about David. She doesn't ask about the kids. Like nothing.
Gotta wonder what's
So,
on
I mean, the
us.
way that I saw it is I was like, I can be hurt my whole life about this. Like I can be angry and pissed and sad my whole life about this, or I can figure out a way to come to terms with it. And that's ultimately like where the neutrality came. But the process of getting to that neutrality was like, basically my abandoned part driving my bus for a whole freaking year and having to deal with a ton of anger towards my mom, like literally so much anger that I threw up because of it, because it was so much. And then dealing with the grief and the sadness of that. And then a year ago, after it had been a year since I talked to her, I sat down and I was like, I'm going to write a letter to my mother. I'm going to write a rage letter to my mother. I'm not going to send it, but I'm going to write it. And so I like sat down to write, thinking all this angry stuff was going to like spew out of me, right? But what shocked me was what actually came out was as soon as I started writing her, a picture of her from her childhood flashed into my head. And it was of when she was like 8 or 9 years old, and it was her school picture. And it used to be framed in our house. And that image flashed into my head. And I realized, oh, I'm writing this letter to her. And I wrote a letter to my mom's inner child. And that was profound, like profound. And that's how I got to the neutrality, was through that letter. It was finally coming to terms with, it's so unfair that you didn't have it within you to give me what I needed, but also it's unfair of me to expect you to give that to me because you never had it. Like it's that both and thing that is so hard to hold, especially if the abandoned child is driving the bus. The abandoned child doesn't have the perspective, oh, I totally understand why you couldn't give me what I needed. You didn't have it to give yourself. The abandoned child is just like, what the fuck? Like, what do you mean? You abandoned me. Like, I'm pissed about it. So yeah, that letter was really, really helpful. I don't know if that could be helpful for you, but
No, that's really
it was
beautiful.
helpful for me.
I have found that practice in the past has been really, I've done it in the past, when I was coming out of my marriage, and it was like I wrote a very angry letter and a very sad letter, and then I wrote what I considered to be a closing letter, and it actually came out as like a thank you. And yeah, like the idea that I could go through that process, my mother feels that would be a big shift towards neutrality, to be able to write something thank you to her. Because right now it's very hard for me to feel that. Does like all those other guys on the bus are like, no, write for me. I got a pen. So I'm like, okay, maybe everyone needs to just write their bit, and then like, I can see what's left for me
That would
to.
be a really good exercise, letting your different parts write. That would be a really good exercise to
I
do.
think maybe a good
Would
thing
it
for me
be
to do.
helpful? Yeah, totally. Would it be helpful to any of you? I actually recorded myself reading the letter I wrote to my mom. Would it be helpful for any of you to hear that?
100%.
Would that be helpful for you, Angie? Anybody else have weird mom shit? Or would you like to hear my letter that I wrote to my mom? Just to see like what's possible, maybe. Okay, I'll play it. It is like 10 minutes long, but it is me reading it. So, and I'm actually really proud of it. I feel like it's the best thing I've ever written in my life, actually. Where is it? I know it's on my desktop. I just have to look through all these little squares until I find it. Ah, there it is. Okay. I will share my sound with you. You might want to get a tissue. Everyone who's ever heard this cries. Here we go. Dear Mom, I need you to know that I love you, and I'm so grateful you are my mother. I don't hold any grudges or grievances against you. I want you to be safe, well, healed, and whole, however that looks for you. I don't know that much about your life before me or your inner life after I was born, but I know enough to say with certainty that it all makes sense. The passive aggressiveness makes sense. The silent treatment makes sense. The shutdown makes sense. The addiction makes sense. It all makes perfect sense to me. And I'm so, so incredibly sorry for what you had to endure that wasn't your choice and that you had no power over. I'm so sorry for the abuse and neglect you suffered, for the betrayal of your parents, those who hurt you but were supposed to protect you and love you, for the betrayal of men you loved and looked to for protection and support, who you tried to create a happy family with but couldn't, for the betrayal of yourself and all the ways you let yourself down and feel shame for. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry for a system that taught you you were unworthy, not valuable, unlovable, and less than. I'm so sorry you've lost everything multiple times in your life and have had to do the excruciating work of starting over from scratch more times than anyone ever should in 10 lifetimes, much less one lifetime. I'm so sorry that survival has been so difficult, that thriving and living a rich, full life has always felt out of reach for you. I'm sorry your memory bank stores more pain, shame, and suffering than it does joy, peace, and love. I'm so sorry you've been alone. I'm sorry people have left you with broken pieces you haven't known how to pick up and put back together. I don't even know what your hopes and dreams have been, but my gut feeling is that you've not had the luxury of many hopes and dreams because all your energy has gone into surviving until the next day, until the next crisis passes, until the next loss doesn't sting so badly. I wish I could hold a younger version of you and tell her she is worthy and lovable and a precious gift. I wish I could tell her that she deserved better and that it wasn't her fault that her parents and subsequent men couldn't meet her with the grace and tenderness she desired and craved. I wish I could tell her that she wasn't too much and was always enough. I wish I could step in and defend her from the atrocious abuse and rescue her from the awfulness. I wish I could remother her and give her a lap to crawl into to rest and get filled up. I wish I could play with her and make her laugh and squeal with joy and delight. I wish I could wipe her tears away and comfort her precious heart. I wish I could guard that heart and never allow anyone near her who wouldn't cherish her the way all children deserve to be cherished. I wish I could tell her that she is so wanted. I wish I could attune to her and nourish her with not only food, but also with the warmth and nurturing that only a mother can give. I wish I could model to her what a mother's love is supposed to be, and that it's not her fault, she didn't know how. I wish I could go back in time and be the mother you needed, so that maybe you could have been the mother I needed. It is so unfair that I needed all the same things you needed, but I was never going to get them because you didn't have them to give. I'm so sorry you didn't get what you needed, and I'm so sorry I didn't get what I needed. In my childhood, I tried reparenting you. I tried being enough for you, but not too much at the same time. I tried proving myself to you, and I do believe in so many ways that I had it much better than you did. I can pinpoint moments in my childhood when you were really trying and succeeding at being a good mother. And because I know those moments exist, it makes me feel bad to stand in my current truth that all of those efforts still weren't enough. I'm so sorry for both of us that your efforts weren't enough. And I am in the very complex position of feeling torn between the total understanding that you were unequipped to be the mother I needed and the acknowledgement of my own pain and trauma for which you are responsible. That is really unfair, and yet it is what is. Throughout my entire life, I have simultaneously felt that I am both too much and not enough. I feel extremely needy for connection and totally terrified of it at the same time. I feel the drive to achieve and succeed while also feeling so afraid to be seen and to come up short. To be perfect, but not too perfect, because then you are jealous of me. And if you are jealous of me, then we have something between us that exists because your not enoughness is reflected back to you in my too muchness. No matter how hard I tried, I was never going to be enough to soothe the wounds in you that existed long before I was even a thought, when I was just a cell inside your body as you were growing inside your mother's body. I can feel in my bones that this pain you carry, that we carry, is older than the sum of our ages combined. A long lineage of broken and incomplete mother-daughter bonds threads through our DNA, wordless, yet demanding to be named. For the naming of it allows it to be witnessed rather than quietly, violently, continuing generation after generation. What your mother passed on to you is not your fault. And yet it is your fault at the same time because you were supposed to stop this curse before you passed it on to me. I must also hold the very real question of how did I expect you to do that? Where were the resources going to come from? Who was going to model something to you that you could not even name was missing for yourself? It's so damn unfair to both of us, just like it was unfair to Meemaw and Thelma and Molly and her mother. I can only trace our maternal lineage back 6 generations. I am the 7th. Addie is the 8th. It feels significant that my daughter is starting a new 7-generation cycle, and although I was nowhere near a perfect mom, I am 1000% certain I caused her less trauma than all other previous generations caused their daughters. With all this complexity named, I want you to know that I forgive you for not knowing what you didn't know. Even though I have been cleaning up the mess of your mothering for my entire life, I must also acknowledge on some eternal soul level I came to this planet, to our lineage of mothers and daughters, to stop the madness. I am a cycle breaker, and for better or for worse, I believe it is a mixture of both, I have you to thank for bringing me into this world so that I could fulfill this purpose. I never, ever wanted to live without you in my life. I always desired a closeness between us, and I have touched and felt it many times. I am grateful I have been able to taste that which may not have existed for other generations before me, and I am also grateful for following my heart in mothering my daughter with the clear intention that she would know she is loved, cherished, wanted, and above all, she is enough. I didn't know I could be okay without you, but I am. I really, really am. Over this past year, I have been faced with abandonment triggers again and again. Each time, it was not the other person who was actually abandoning me. It was my perception that I was being abandoned because I was either too much or not enough. I projected you onto them, and I now understand this as my body's wise way of helping me uncover how deep and vast and wide this wounding actually is. It is so much bigger than me, and I had to be totally without you in order to go to its depths. I have realized that although I never wanted you out of my life, I don't actually need you in my life. And it's obvious by your silence and distance that you don't need me either. I don't say that with any snark or sass, just a matter-of-fact observation that perhaps we have outgrown each other, and that can be okay. A year ago, that possibility wasn't possible. But as time so often does, it shows us that we go on. We form new bonds, and though the ache may never go away, we accept what is. To keep trying to change it or deny what's actually happening is more painful. I never thought an existence without you would be less painful than one with you, and that's only because the lens I was seeing through was that of an 8-year-old child. To an 8-year-old, an existence without a mother is terrifyingly impossible to imagine. To a 40-year-old woman, it is neither impossible nor terrifying. This is what's happening. Whether you will come back into my life or not is unknown to me at this time, but you are not here now, and you have never been here in the capacity I have needed or desired or deserved. And I forgive you. I wholeheartedly love that little girl in you who knows the pain I feel, and I wholeheartedly forgive and release you from any guilt or shame you carry toward yourself. The prayer I speak into the ethers on your behalf is this. May she know immense love and peace. May she be well, healed, and whole. May she find unconditional love for herself. May she live out the rest of her days with the deep trust and knowing that whether we are together or apart, we are okay. Any karma between us is now resolved and complete. I am free, and so is she. May you go forth in peace, love, joy, blessing, health, and happiness. I honor you. I forgive you. I release you. So be it. With love, Lindsay.
Okay, was that helpful?
at all.
I mean, I don't know if your mother's inner child needed to hear that, but mine did. So, fuck.
Yeah.
Wow.
I believe that my mother's inner child did get to hear it because that's who I wrote it for. Like somehow energetically through space and time, she got it. I hope.
That's beautiful. I hope she
Well,
hears.
yeah, that's the thing is I actually didn't write it for her. I wrote it for myself. You know? And that's, but that I couldn't have come to that place if I hadn't given all the anger and the sadness all the time and space they needed until they just dissolved. And it was like, okay, I got to the bottom of it. I don't need this anymore. I don't even feel this way anymore, you know? So I don't know. That's what neutral feels like to me, Angie.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I'm glad that was helpful. Thanks for letting me share that with you guys. I haven't shared that with many people. Are there any other questions or comments or shares?
I'll share.
Yeah, Carrie, what's up?
Hi, first of all, I missed you guys. I moved and started school at the same time, so it's
Oh my
nice to
gosh.
be live and not in a replay.
Yeah.
And then the other thing I wanted to share, aside from heavily relating to everything you just said, I just kind of went through a, I don't know if it's a breakup or a space, but a best friend breakup.
Oh.
And one of the first things you said at the beginning of this, talking about responsibility to yourself, is not apologizing for things that you didn't do wrong. And talking about your friend that had these like unspoken expectations that weren't met. And it was like a universal pat on the back of like, you handled that the right way, because that's exactly what happened with me. And through that process, I just realized, A, how much I've changed and how uncomfortable that is for her. And B, this weight that I allow to sit on me heavy of like, embarrassingly, something I have done in the past as well, of like, I've done so much for you. I've been there for you so long. We've been friends for 13 years, and like evading what is actually happening. And that was really hard for me because I did want to apologize for things I didn't do wrong because of that. And it actually had nothing to do with it. So yeah, it was just nice to hear you kind of to say that. And I did the same thing you did of like reach out to several people, because I am in a phase in my life where I'm like, if I'm the bitch, please tell me. Like, I actually want to know if I'm in the wrong at this point in my life.
Yep.
And so it was nice to have another reminder of like, no, it's okay to like draw boundaries with someone you love a lot if they're taking things personally, because you can't do anything about that. So
Yeah.
thank you.
Yeah. For sure. And I'm sorry. That's really hard.
Yeah, it'll probably come back around, but I feel it's a friend that has never left our hometown. So I feel
Oh.
like there's a lot that I've learned and experienced that she hasn't. So she'll get there, I hope. But yeah.
Yeah. And whether she does or she doesn't, you can be okay.
It's that neutral feeling that you just explained of like, I'm actually okay without you. I have some guilt about that, I'm not gonna lie. Like, it feels kind of mean to be okay without her. But it's that feeling of like, we really did just outgrow each other, and I'm not 25 anymore. Like, I can't be held to that
Yeah.
standard. It's actually really freaking exhausting. So yeah.
Yeah.
Thank
Well,
you.
thanks for sharing. Be interesting to see if it changes
Yeah.
or not. Anybody else? Danielle or Katarina or Sinead?
Yeah, I was just going to maybe thank you so much for sharing that letter. Yeah, it was really it was just it was beautifully written. Like, yeah, just thank you. And I suppose just on the boundaries piece, I suppose was just really interesting in relation to like how do you know if your boundaries are kind of like too rigid, if they are authentic for you. And I suppose something that like I don't know, I guess I've been questioning, but now that when I checked in after, you know, you had gone through it, I was like, oh yeah, no, it is authentic for me. But because like a number of years ago when I was on social media and like I would have shared some like thoughts about all the things that were going on about COVID, and I basically like kind of got like, you know, you called out or annihilated, basically, you know, there's all the messages you might get. And I remember the time making a decision that if I was to go back on social media at any point, because I came off it because it got so bad. So I made a decision to like just come on and share stuff that I felt passionate about, and not to kind of maybe get involved with some of the world politics and the different things, the million different things that are going on. But all that's happening obviously in the world in the last year, and like in Ireland in particular, obviously there's like this massive support, I suppose, for all that's happening in Palestine and the war in the world. And like, you know, I'm getting weekly messages about you should post this, you should post that, you should post the other. And just this week I got an email from a lady that was like I've worked with you, I've done your courses and blah 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 blah. And basically, like, you know, her words were, someday you'll be ashamed of yourself for not sharing more in support of the Palestinian people. And I got a moment of like, ooh, like, is, you know, is there some truth in this? Is there some, and I guess, again, not that I'm trying to explain my stance in it, but it's more that like, I don't believe me resharing all of the horrific things that are happening on social media, like teeny tiny platform on social media. I don't believe it's going to stop a war, right? You know, if for a
It's not.
second, you know what I mean? It's not. And I think it's an illusion, and that people are kind of shamed into supporting and kind of proving that they care. So like, I replied in the email and I was like, basically had said like I don't have to kind of prove that I care, or that I might be, you know, keeping up to date or doing my bit outside of social media. I don't have to tell you guys that I, you know, donate or that I do whatever. Like I don't have to do that. And I felt really okay about it. And like, and if I compare to a number of years ago, like my system was so rattled, like I was an anxious wreck for weeks after getting these messages. But actually, I felt really okay. And even now, when I still might get messages, I'm just like, I'm not going to reply to that. Just no. And that's my boundary. Just no. So I guess there was a part of me that was questioning, like, am I being too rigid on this? Like, maybe I should say something. Or, and then I was like, no, that's it. After you went through it, I was like, checked in. I was like, no, that's authentic for me. It's okay. Thank you.
That's beautiful. I'm so glad you shared that. I feel the same way. Have you guys noticed? I've never said anything about Palestine or wars on my Instagram, and I'm not going to because it's not fucking relevant.
Yeah, no, I so I
And if all of the people that are already posting, if that was making a difference, then the war would have stopped by now. But it hasn't stopped by now, and all the posting about it isn't actually making a difference because guess what? This is what systemic oppression looks like. Regular people like you and me really don't have the power or money to do anything meaningful about it. So sharing the black square on your Instagram feed or putting the Palestinian flag in your bio picture or whatever, like it's literally just performative woketivism. Like it's not
Yeah.
actually making a difference. It's not real activism.
Yeah.
So I
Oh
completely
yeah.
support your choice and your boundary.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And like I then kind of have this other thought of like, you know, all the you should, or you know, and then it's like, okay, and you know, there's a war in Congo, and the Congo, and there's a, you know, there's child
Yeah, what
trafficking,
about
and
that?
where what about those? Like, where do you want me to, you know? So the expectation is just bizarre, you know. And yeah, so I guess it was just a lovely point of kind of checking back in earlier when you were going through that, and I was like, oh yeah, no, I've just reconfirmed for myself, I am so okay with not resharing so much stuff. That's honestly, I don't think our nervous systems can take it. Like, I think people are so showing up so dysregulated online, and I'm kind of like, I work in mental health, I have to keep myself well mentally
Fuck yeah.
to be a support to others, like fucking hell. And then people are like, you'll be ashamed of yourself. Oh, I had one woman say, what are you going to tell your children one day?
I'm going to tell my children I took care of my fucking mental health is what I'm going to tell my children, because they were living with me in the house. And so my taking care of my mental health was also my best way of taking care of my children. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Thank you for your concern.
Block.
But
Well,
yeah.
like literally, no, I don't have any, I don't put up with shit like that.
That's
Good
good. Good
job.
learning. I guess it was nice for me to maybe have that moment of, you're doing okay. You're doing the work. You're noticing the changes. So yeah, thanks, guys.
Yeah. And I don't actually think it's really authentic for anybody to be doing like posting that and sharing that and campaigning for that. Like, I really don't think that's authentic. Like, I get that it's really sad. It's terrible that it's happening. I wish that it wasn't. I wish that I had more power than I do, but I actually don't. Like, I actually have zero power to affect any kind of real change on a systemic level. Like, the only thing that I can do to make my world a better place is heal myself. That's it.
100%. Yeah. That's exactly where I'm at with it. Yeah. And it is, it's so devastating. Oh my God. Like, there's no doubt about it. Sometimes when you do see some of these videos and they do flash up and you see some of the stuff that's going on, ooh, like it would take your breath away. But like, this is, again, when you come back in and check in, like, I do feel so much of it is performative. Like, you see a lot of, like, certainly in Ireland here, like, there's a lot of, like, I know that other Irish people that are online are getting such pressure. And it's like, you notice they'll be like, oh, 1 year on, and they'll put the post or they'll put something in support. And then it's like the next story is like out for coffee with their friend. And it's like they just go out of it. And I'm like, why are you throwing that in the mix of what you're sharing? It's just like, yeah, I don't know. It's just not
It's
authentic. I think it's
performative.
under duress. Yes, they feel if they don't,
Yes,
which you're
it
like,
is under duress. It's fear of cancellation. Dude, I have totally been attacked by that woke mob. Like, I don't know how many of you have been following me since like 2020, but like the woke mob really came after me in 2020, 2021. Like, just it was a semi cancellation situation, and it was all around like me not putting a black square on my Instagram feed on the day that George Floyd died, and like not resharing things, and oh, with your platform and what you talk about, you really should, do this and share this and talk about this and whatever. And I'm just like I am not a fucking geopolitical expert. Like, I am not going to weigh in on this because I don't know enough about it to weigh in on it. And I'm not going
We
to
don't.
force myself to learn about it and potentially traumatize myself looking at graphic images and videos of things that I am completely powerless to change or control. Like, yeah, once again, all I can do is focus on my own wellness. Like, and if people are resourced in themselves to be able to be activists that way, like, amazing for them. But I have yet to meet a well-resourced activist.
Oh yeah, like, I mean,
Like,
I talk a lot about, like, I suppose non-diet health and all the rest of it. And I remember a couple of years ago, I don't know if you are familiar with the paradigm, like health at every size and Lindo Bacon, but Lindo Bacon got like absolutely crucified. Like, and when I saw all that unfold, and I was just like, whoa, this is just so insane. I couldn't believe it. It was like it really showed to me how I was like, oh God, no, it, like, this is just not okay. Like, what? Crazy stuff.
It's so crazy. It's so crazy. It
Because like
makes no sense.
I got
And
a, yeah, because like loads of
yeah.
people in the non-diet space were like, show your support, blah blah blah. And I was like, I refuse to do it. And then like that, you got like, as in, show your support against Lindo Bacon. And I was like, don't you click? You know what I mean? No.
They're asking you to participate in canceling a person.
Yes. And it was like, never. You won't push me to that. God, it's crazy.
Did Lindo Bacon ever come back after that?
Yeah, like, I mean, they released a letter, and but it ultimately was like, yes, I haven't, and acknowledge, like, yes, I haven't done everything like superbly. We all can make mistakes, but the treatment, like, they got death threats and oh my God, wanted to like pull, like literally destroy their career. So like that they would never speak at an event, that like everybody in the whole like intuitive eating, non-diet space, health at every size space would be like, you know, they're bad. Like remove yourself from any association. Like it was really quite crucifying. Yeah. So
Yeah.
no,
I mean,
not gonna
my
prepare.
counselors were saying the same thing about me. They were posting about me on their stories
Wow.
that I was taking advantage of people, and like they called me a grifter and said that I was recruiting people into the NXIVM sex cult, and I was a member of QAnon, and just like all of this insane shit. And I'm like, I literally had to look up what the NXIVM sex cult was and watch a documentary to even know what they were talking about. Like, I'm so involved in this cult that I actually have to research it to find out what you're talking about. And
Wow.
then be like, okay, I'm totally not recruiting people to a sex cult, but whatever. Like, yeah, man, activists are some of the most dysregulated people I've ever come across in my life. That's why I'm like, your activism would be so much more effective if you were like resourced within yourself. But instead of resourcing yourself, you're like spinning your wheels, trying to be like a keyboard warrior for what? Like, for what? You're an armchair activist. Like, shut the fuck up. Like, if you really want to make a
Agree.
difference, run for office. Like, run for office in your local community. Run, like, do something that's actually meaningful. But like this shit posting and canceling of people is like actually not effective at all. It just makes you feel like you're doing something.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's just easing their own whatever helplessness by projecting
Yeah, they're
it all.
easing their own helplessness and guilt. And like, you know, I don't watch videos of dogs that have been abused and neglected because like there is a part of me that I would fucking adopt every single one of them. You know what I mean? Like, I would absolutely burn myself out trying to take care of everybody's neglected, abused dogs. You know what I mean?
No, that's horrible.
And
She's
like,
coming in her
but like,
Halloween costume.
oh, that's so cute. What is their Halloween costume?
I don't, I'm not even really sure. Some kind of dress thing. We're not really into Halloween in this house,
Oh.
but
Yeah, that's
anyways.
funny. Yeah, I can't do it. I can't adopt all those dogs. I can't rescue
No.
everyone. I can't fix all of them as much as I want to. Like, as long as this planet is in existence, there's going to be darkness and evil. And like, all I can do is work on
Yeah.
myself and not be performative about it. And yeah. Well, good job. Way to hold your boundary. Be rigid with it. I'm rigid about not posting about war. Or the election.
Yes.
Have you noticed I haven't posted anything about the fucking US election? You know why? Because I don't fucking care, because it doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah.
Like, whoever gets elected isn't really in charge. They're just a puppet for whoever is actually in charge. It doesn't actually fucking matter. My vote doesn't actually matter, so I don't vote. Crucify
Yeah.
me. Well, Carrie's the only American left, so the rest of you can't cancel me for not voting in America because you don't live here. But yeah, I don't vote in national elections. I just don't. I'm like, your game is broken and rigged. I'm not playing it. I also don't bitch about whoever gets elected. I just stay out of it. Just stay in my own lane, work on my own self, love on my community and my people, like just be my magical little self. That's all I can be in this world. I cannot do anything about the fucking election or Palestine or the Congo or sweatshops in China. I can't do anything about any of that.
Yeah, I'm the same one here. Like I
Are
actually
the
am probably am,
same.
I'm the I'm embarrassingly I couldn't even tell you what party are in power in Ireland, in power in
Good for
quotes.
you.
Haven't a clue. Haven't fiddlers because I don't get involved in any of
Yeah.
it because I think it's a whole lot of shite.
Yeah. The party that's in charge in the US is the deep state. So it's not Republicans or Democrats. It's the deep state. So, right. Like, yeah, there's a lot of shit I don't talk about. I'm totally a conspiracy theorist. I don't share about that shit online. Like, there's just some things that I'm gonna keep to myself, and I have every right to do that, right?
Yeah. Look, you can't even close the door and go girly. Oh God, now another one comes.
Now they're
I
all
better
coming
go.
in. They're all coming in.
It's bedtime here, guys, so that's why.
Okay. Yeah.
But
No
thank you
worries.
all. It was
Yeah.
lovely to hear everybody tonight, and thanks for all the shares and lovely workshop.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing your rigid boundaries. I love it. I'm all about it. All right. Anyone else before we hop off?
You're all right, guys.
So hopefully I'll
Okay.
see you all on Wednesday for our group call, hopefully. And yeah, I'm gonna hop off and go have some lunch and get ready for my 2 o'clock session. So thank you all for being here. It was lovely as always to be in the same space as you. I hope this was helpful and beneficial and that you're getting a lot out of it. And thank you so much for being here. And yeah, I know you could spend your time and money anywhere else, and you chose to be with me, and that's really special. So thank you. I'll talk to you all next week. Bye bye.